This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I am Levi. Across from me sits John, and back by popular demand is Travis. He's been gone for a couple weeks gallivanting around, shooting and missing deer.
And
oh, man,
yeah.
Low blow right
low
off the
blow
top.
Right off the bat. Can't help
good
myself.
Good to be back, guys. It's good to be back.
Hey, today we're talking about developing community and transformed lives and why the church is really so important. One of the things that we have experienced, all of us in this new world, is the ability to actually not gather, but to have this pseudo-gathering via the internet. And while I like the internet, I think it's a blessing from God in many ways, and also there's some curse to it, there's some brokenness to it, but I think that there is some blessing in this idea of being able to project out a message of the gospel on it. It reaches places, but it is not a substitute for God. It's not, you know, we're two or three are online, there is Jesus also, right? Like, it's just not what the scriptures tell us. There is this idea that we have to gather together, but we want to ask the question, why?
That's a great question to ask. Why? Because, you know, you look at the New Testament church and there's all these one another's and together. You can't do something with one another by yourself. And so there's a lot of great things that happen in community. And church is one of those places. You know, you talk about the analogy of the body and Christ as the head of the church. Well, we are not, as individuals, the full-fledged body of Christ. We are parts of that body. And so we need to be together to be able to have that fullness and experience some of that life to the full, which the Bible talks about being connected to Christ and having life to the full. That is partly individual, but it's a large in part a together thing.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things that, you know, for anybody who's been around the church, we talk about this a lot. And the why question is really important because, you know, I think sometimes we can get confused, even as leaders in the church, about why we're trying to gather people. And so it's good to go back to scripture and say, okay, why is this something that we see as a command for us? And also, as we'll get into today, it's part of our design.
Yeah. It's not just a recommendation.
Yeah.
You know, Hebrews 10:25 talks about, like, you should not forsake assembling together. It's a commandment.
Yeah. Well, I think even more interesting in that verse is why we don't forsake. And it says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And then it has a comma. It says, not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And I think you have to look at that that passage of scripture, and you will hear an implied question after the phrase love and good works. The question is how? How are we spurred on to this? How do those stir up in us? By gathering together. And so I think it's a very important biblical concept that we have community. I can remember back when I was in high school and we had a great youth group, man. There's 60, 70 kids and we'd go to somebody's house, just tear that thing up. It was awesome. But I think that there was, not only did we have biblical teaching there, there was also like this accountability naturally within that group. And there was this, you know, I'm not sure we were sitting around confessing our sins to each other, but there was a noted expectation. There was a noted, hey, these are followers of Jesus along with me. There was also safety within that. When you went to school, you saw these other kids, you were doing life with them. And so we weren't the church in those moments. And I think that's one of the questions that often come up for us is, well, aren't we all the church? Well, that's a theological question. And there is a theological reality. A big C church, universal church, is described in the scripture. But it's an eschatological reality, which means this. It means that you are seated at the right hand of Jesus. you're with him at that right hand. You have a standing, you have a position, but that reality is all past Christians, all Christians now, and all future Christians mm-hmm. will have that same standing. And it's only one assembly. It's the universal church. It's Christ's church. It's the people of God all gathered together in that. It is what the Bible describes. So there's one of those, and then there's many local churches. Mm-hmm. So one universal church. So when we walk out of the gathering, we're not the church. We're ambassadors of Christ. We have this ability to be followers of Jesus, but we are not the church in that moment. That is not what that even that word means. Church means ecclesia, or is comes from the word ecclesia, which means gathering, assembly. And so when people say, well, the church is not the walls, no, it's not, but it is the gathering of people. And then people go right next to the next passage. They're like, well, when two or three are gathered, there is Jesus. That is talking about church discipline. Read Matthew chapter 18. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, we're going to discipline these people out of the church because we no longer have faith that they have faith in Jesus, and we're saying no to them. And when you do that, where two or three are gathered, Jesus is there with you. Basically, he says, I give the keys to the kingdom of God. The salvation comes through the local church. Yeah. That's what that's saying in that passage. So don't misquote that passage anymore. Now you know that. So,
yeah, it's an interesting, you know, especially in our day and age right now, post COVID, or, you know, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that yet, but I did. But you know, I can remember it brought up a lot of deep questions when we all went online. You know, I think most churches for at least a season, it might've been different lengths, you know, but that time made me question what is the church? What is the gathering? What's the significance of it? And you know, I it's one of the things that I look at a lot. There was lots and lots of bad things that came from COVID, but to me, having to ask those questions, that's something that I think is going to mark my faith and my walk with the Lord and my view of community for the rest of my life, because it was a season where it came out of play, and I had to go, oh, well, does it have to come back? The answer I came to is yes, we need to be back together. It's important. But I think it was good to ask some questions about community and what does it mean?
Yeah, I think that part of it is that we think of our faith as individual faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a private thing. That's no, right. Your faith is not private. Now you know that. You can't say that anymore. I'm saying all kinds of crazy things right now. But it's not private. Yeah. It is who you are. And so that's part of the problem with COVID or with not gathering, is that your faith is somehow – the church isn't here for the individual's faith journey. The church is here to be a living organism, breathing and lifting up the name of Jesus. And if we're not doing that, if a church is not lifting up the name of Jesus – I agree. You should not go. I have no idea why you would go. Why would you get up in the morning on Sunday and go and hang out with people? I have plenty of friends. I have plenty of people to hang out with. I don't need more people to hang with. And so I don't understand. If you're just a social group, it's different than any other nonprofit. It's different than any other social group out there. It's not a country club. It is the living organism, the living visible organism of the body of Christ. That's it's supernatural in nature when we get together.
Mm-hmm. And the whole virtual thing, in my mind, it's like, you know, you're missing out on the feast with the family, because we talk about it's a big party when we get together on Sunday morning. We Absolutely. Celebrate God, what he's done for us. We dig into his word and what he's got for us and how to transform our lives through his spirit working in us. And so, like, it's like getting together for Thanksgiving and grandma's popping out the MREs and dumping some hot water on there. If you're trying to do that by yourself, you know, that's not part of the community. You can, I debate this with students all the time. They're like, I got friends online. I'm like, you don't have friends online. You have people that you hang out and play games with and talk smack to, but you don't know those people.
Because they're in low places.
The low places, yeah.
Ooh, I got, never mind.
But it takes it takes that coming together, the assembly, the gathering in person to have that fullness, to have that. We're going to talk about the love and spurring each other on, the encouragement that comes out of that. And those are all commandments from scripture too, about what the church is supposed to be and how we're supposed to do it. And if you're just eating MREs, you're missing out.
Well, I get crazy on my own.
True.
That's just true. Like if I'm left to my own demise, I make really bad, bad choices. And I think that is one of the beauties of the church. It's not the rule police, but it keeps you accountable in the midst of it. The community is like this living, breathing organism that is pushing you in a direction. Your body doesn't go, your hand can't go without the rest of the body, and so goes it with you. Like, if you're connected to the body of Christ and you're in the gathering, you're not naturally going to try to break off. And when you do break off, what happens usually is that you will say, you will start, this is how it all works, I think, every time. This is how I see people losing their faith. They say, well, I'm not sure I believe in God anymore. And they say, well, I'm not going to go to church anymore. Something before that has happened. You started behaving poorly. The community is not going to be okay. You behave yourself out of belief.
Well, you cut your hand off, and apart from the head, it's not going to send the signal, send the blood and the oxygen and all that stuff that you need. So the body analogy is ideal.
Oh, it's strong in this. I mean, 1 Corinthians 12 is another part where it talks about the body of Christ being many parts that come together as one. It's talking about unity there. But it gives a really vivid picture. You know, if I was to have my hand cut off, my hand loses its purpose when it's not attached to my body, right? And the same thing is true for us as followers of Christ when we're separated from the body of Christ, from the head of, which is Christ, the head of the church. We lose our purpose when we're not connected to the body. And that is something that I think we can forget, especially in our culture. And maybe it's, you know, there's some version of this in other cultures too, but I know for sure in our culture, we have this idea that we're supposed to be self-sufficient lone rangers.
Wolf pack of one.
That's right. That's right. I don't need anybody. Yeah. You know, so this idea is, I think it's something that we have to actively fight against.
Let's pivot for just a second, because we've established that you need to go to church. You need to be in the gathering. You need to be in a church that raises the name of Jesus up, because otherwise I have no idea why you're going to church. Don't go to church. There's no reason to go if it's not raising the name of Jesus. It is his church. It's his institution. Yeah. It's his thing. But let's pivot. Like, okay, now we get to church. One of the things that I think has happened in the American church is that it has become they're going to provide religious...
A spectator sport, man.
Well, religious services for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you're a part of it. That's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you read it, it says that you have a gift. If you've said yes to Jesus, you have a gift that has been given to you by God. The Holy Spirit has entered you and given you and empowered you with a gift for the betterment of the body. You're a part of it. And so when you do not serve and you do not use your gift, you're actually withholding love that God has given to you. The Trinity, or God is defined, his very nature is love, but it's a love not that he has, he does have it for us, but it's not a love that he needed from us. It's a love that he's always enjoyed. He's enjoyed the fellowship of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit together. And we talked about this, I think, a couple weeks ago, but it's always connected to that. And so when you're in the dance of the Trinity, you're serving the church. This is how the Trinity works. The Father sent the Son. The Son sent the Spirit, and the Spirit, this is good, the Spirit sent the church. And you're a part of this. You're a part of the dance in that moment. Here's the reality that the scriptures teach. There isn't salvation. The keys to the kingdom come through the person of Jesus Christ, and those keys have been given to the local church. People need to know who Jesus is. They need to know the good news of who he is, that he came to rescue them from their sins, and that they can have a relationship with God.
When you go back to the church as this living, breathing organism, without the church, The church is how Christ is manifest through the world today. That's how the light is shown into those dark places. And you hit on that love thing. First John talks about, like, we are called to love one another. We're to be known by our love for one another. That's how people see Jesus.
And the love is supposed to be first for the brothers and the sisters. Yep. Those are in your church. That is your first priority of love. 1 Corinthians 12 is talking about spiritual gifts that you've been given. 1 Corinthians 13 says, you know what? You can speak in tongues of angels, but if you do not have love, it doesn't much matter. Basically, what he's saying there is don't be a jerk. Like, you've been given a gift. It's not for your glory, but for his glory, for God's glory, that you would raise up and that you would work within your giftedness for the good of Jesus, for his name to be shared with others. And so it's connected always to love.
Yeah. And the church is the bride of Christ, which he gave his life up for. So if we're taking our gifts and our talents and our abilities and using them outside, great. That's fantastic. But how is that reflecting the light and the love of Christ? Because we're called to love the brothers and the sisters within the body first. Isn't there a song, I got brothers and my sisters all over the... Yeah.
I have no idea
if I had a hammer.
Dig into that. I want to hear more.
Yeah.
I'm not singing. That's my debut album's coming out later on. But if you're not using those things within the church, that's not the light and the hope of the world of Jesus that's going out.
I don't think they're super powered outside of.
Correct.
Outside of the church, outside of, like, missionaries are super powered as the church sends them. Mm-hmm. Evangelists are super powered as the church says, hey, go. People who are encouragers, like, man, if you're an encourager and that's your gift, man, use that for the good of the body. And it's super powered. It's supernatural when it happens, and it moves the body into this different place where it can share the good news and the light of Jesus Christ.
So here's a question for you, fellow pastors.
Okay.
If, you know, we're making a good case here, I think. So just so that we can be crystal clear, are you saying if I want to be in community, I should just go to church and sit in the pews and then go home? And that's community? I did it?
No, you're part of it. Do you want me to get all yelling at you now? Good golly.
I was trying to get you more worked up.
Yeah. No, you have to be, you have to engage in it. You're in it for the long haul. Yeah. And people are like, this is the other question we get. Why does the church have membership? Well, membership is actually a New Testament thing, and we could talk about that, but we won't. But it's part of you going, I'm putting myself under the discipleship of the church. I believe that they're going to help me in my faith walk individually, but corporately, I'm also saying that I love these people enough to share my gift that God has given to me. Good golly, people, this is not...
Which the instruction comes right at Acts 2. Like, devote yourselves to the apostles' teaching, and there were protections within that. Like you just talked about, Matthew 18. How can you be held accountable if you don't have brothers and sisters around you that care about you and where you're going and what you're doing? Mm-hmm. That's what it's about.
Yep.
And you can build off of that with one another. I mean, we do small groups here, John. You love small groups.
I do.
And they're fantastic places where we can be encouraged, where we can grow as we dig into scripture and pray with one another. When stuff hits the fan in life, that's your immediate group to help you out and be there for you and have your back. Super important.
Yeah, I mean, and to that point, I'll speak to the introverts who are listening. I'm an introvert myself, and I was, I was just talking to. I'm superior.
He's got a sign on.
Yeah. There's a thing that happens every week when it's time for me to go to my small group, which is my you know, we think of small group as small community. It's it's a extension in a way of what we're doing. It's a part of the church. It's a place where we can be more deeply known and challenged and all those kinds of things. And as an introvert, almost every week, now my life group, fellow life group members might be listening, so it's sorry, but almost every week I don't want to go because I'd rather sit at home and be quiet, do my own thing, whatever. But also every time I go, I am almost immediately, reassured that it was the right thing, and it's something that I walk away feeling filled, which to me it speaks to the fact that we were made for that community, and also to the fact that there's something in us that pulls us away and wants when we want to be isolated, you know. So it's a reality that I've experienced for a long time as an introvert, where I go, it's Tuesday. I don't really want to go again. And then I come home and I go, oh, that was great. I'm glad I went. I needed that.
Do you think that's true also for your spiritual gift sometimes? Like when you have a spiritual gift, you think it's supposed to feel a certain way. Like, woo, woo, I get to use my spiritual gift. And a lot of times it's not like, woo, woo, you know.
Yeah.
Like one of my gifts is to get up there and tell a good story and open up the word of God. That's like my job. I don't got much, but that's what I get to do, right? And get all excited about it. I hate the preparation for that. Can I just say that?
Yeah.
I hate it. Like, it is, Monday comes and I'm like, oh, goodness, God, give me That's something right. to say. I don't know. And I hate it. But, man, Sunday in the moment where the whole church is opening the Word of God together, man, it's like the sweetest, greatest thing. But getting there is never fun. It's always the getting there part.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's kind of natural. Like, so if you have even a spiritual gift, whether it's going to a small group, whether it's encouraging, whether it's giving, whether it's
hospitality,
yeah, whatever your spiritual gift is, sometimes it doesn't feel like woo woo. Mm-hmm. It feels like, oh man, this is hard. But at the end of it, it often feels like woo.
I can vouch for that because over and over again with youth ministry, our volunteers are like, man, you get there and they're just like, I'm dragging. I had some other stuff to do, but then at the end, they're like, I am so glad that I came here. And they've not only been blessed by using their gift with the body, but all those other people that are around them too have been blessed by it.
Yeah.
Well, what happens if you don't use your hand?
Well, like, that's what I was going to say, like, former football guy here, like, there were dudes that were in the weight room all the time that just work out their upper body. And, like, they look jacked from the waist up, and then you look at their chicken legs, and you're like, oh, I can whoop on you.
I broke my hand when I was a kid. I won't tell you how. but I broke my hand doing something I wasn't supposed to do. And my hand was in a cast for a long time. And when I took my hand out, my fingers were, like, they didn't work right.
Atrophy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like my hand had shrunk down and it just looked weird. And it took a while to get those feet. You know, one of the things I think you can do, if you're hearing this, man, and God is just speaking to you right now and you're in a local church, go to your pastor and say, how can I serve? This is what I think my spiritual gift is, but how can I serve? And for one, you'll blow his mind and it'll be awesome to see his face. Number two, you'll actually be entering into the bride of Christ in a totally new way. You'll be dancing in the Trinity, in the love that God has given to you, for you, but also to share with others. And so I just want to challenge you with that this week. This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us this week. If you liked what we chatted about or you have a different idea for a topic, we'd love to hear from you. Shoot me an email, travis@evangelup.org, or you can find our previous episodes if you search out Evangel Houghton on your podcast device. You can find us there or check out our website, evangelup.org.